Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from the SGPN crew. If like YouTube or sports gambling, make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And we are also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to getroman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/SGP. And finally, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Thank you for coming to the podcast, the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This is the 35th time you've let us into your hashtag degen dirty ear holes, so thank you. I'm hoping all of you listened to all the previous episodes, but if not, welcome. I would be Jeff Fox, your host, as I have been every other episode and as I have been every day on Earth, I guess, since I was born. I'm pretty sure I was Jeff Fox when I was born. So, I am the editor-writer at Sports Gambling Podcast, as well as hosting the show, obviously, and I also run the MMA website, mmh-manifesto.com, which you should go to right now and enter our free pick'em contest for this Saturday's event, and the good people at Sports Gambling Podcast Network are giving away a $50 gift card to whoever you want. So get over on that and get some free stuff, courtesy of the bosses here. I don't think I have any other than the after effects, the aftershocks and reverberations are still being felt over the degen world of me shaving. I'm getting a lot of feedback, not very good feedback about me getting rid of the beard, but it was an early Mother's Day present for the mothers in my life. All of them are happy about it, but all you hashtag dirty degens are not, unsurprisingly, you are all a bunch of hairy bastards. So, I think I made you feel bad when I shaved, but don't worry, it's coming back soon. Well, not soon. It takes forever to grow. You'll see as I do my Better Than Vegas videos. You'll see that nothing's on my face still, even though it's been almost a week. But regardless, enough grooming stuff. We need to be like sponsored by like Manscaped or stuff and all the grooming talk that we've been having here. So, time to introduce my one. I think I've called him a co-host the past few episodes, which is incorrect because he angled him. He negotiated himself a promotion. He's an associate host now, and he's far too qualified for that position. Even with the promotion, far too good looking, far too educated. He's just far too good to be slumming it with us, the gens. But he seems to like it, I think, or at least he's coming back. Like I said last week, it could be the Stockholm Syndrome thing, but regardless, he is also the host of the Prelim Picker and the Top Turtle MMA podcast, as well as associate hosting here, and he's writing all over the place also. He's on Sports Gambling Podcast Network, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, I guess you would call it. He's on MMA-manifesto.com, just published an article about one of the prelim fighters on this week on there that he wrote. I think he writes for other places too. We have a bit of an open marriage here, but I try not to ask questions because I really don't want to know what he's doing in his spare time. But I think he writes for some cage site press or some floozy site like that. But regardless, he's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu and a black belt in picking fights as of last week. This would be Daniel Gubby Vreeland.
Man, you're getting more and more flattering. Do you realize you keep doing that?
That was a long intro.
None of it was mean, except for maybe that Cage Side Press is filled with floozies, but I don't even know that that's mean to me.
No? Yeah, I guess. Okay, well, I'll
yeah, make fun of my pick later.
Edit that out?
Yeah.
Can we edit it out and...
We'll throw another air horn in there or something?
Yes, we'll sweeten it in post, because I'm sure you're right. People are going to be thrown off after that. But hi, Dan. How's it going, man?
Not bad. I mean, we're back on a heater, so it's got to be good.
Exactly. Now, before we get started, I think we have to be very careful not to give away any of the UFC secrets or badmouth them, because I've been hearing there's the first hoof. I've been hearing from Diego Sanchez that UFC can have you killed if you give away their deep, dark secrets. So I think we got to really be careful toeing the line here and make sure we don't give away any of these deep, dark secrets, because do the research, bro. It goes all the way to the top.
Man, I think, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're doing a lot shadier stuff, but like with the amount of stuff that's come out that's been said by fighters who've been released, you know, like the Gray Maynards of the world and, you know, Leslie Smith and like, you know, like they've all said like the shady things that they had dealt with Dana White and Joe Silva, you know, back when Joe Silva was still the matchmaker and stuff like that. Like the stories are out there, like, and they're all bad. Like he's right. There is dirty secrets out there, but I don't feel like what else would there be to dump out than what they said? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, again, maybe I'm naive. Maybe they've got a lot more. Maybe they have a, you know, there's some real underground conspiracy theory stuff going on, but I tend to believe that, he's going a little over the top with that. That being said, crazy that he got fired for his coach going bonkers.
Not really. Like that coach is really is bonkers, and Diego, it's not like he's a big draw at this point. He's well past his expiration date as it is, but maybe it's even deeper, Dan. Maybe he knows way too much. He knows where all the bodies are buried.
He knows much. What is it? The school of,
the school of self-awareness.
The school of self-awareness.
Yeah.
He's so self-aware.
Exactly. Bro. Doesn't it always seem the conspiracy comes be like some like pizza parlor pedophile ring or something? Isn't that always what these
nut
jobs end up saying?
I'm assuming that's what's going on with the UFC here. There's some kind of pedophile ring that
it's Pizzagate all over.
And only Diego Sanchez knows about it, obviously, because that's who they would run that information through.
I didn't really want to talk about him, but I figured it's good for a laugh. Like if this was new behavior for him, I would probably think twice about making fun of him, because obviously it would mean he's having issues, but this is just him. Like, he's always needed help. So
I find that super funny. I keep seeing on like Twitter and stuff that like, oh, this is the effects of CT. And I'm like, do you remember him on the Ultimate Fighter 1? Like this dude this is not just CT. Now, don't get me wrong. He may have been hit a lot of times in the head, and that may have amplified how nutty he was. But, like, this is the same guy who, like, carried a crucifix over his head and yelled the word yes as he marched. Is marched the right word? Marched to the cage that time? It was wild.
Yeah, he's self-aware, guys, and we're not. So we can strive. If you keep listening to this podcast and we keep making it, maybe at some point we all can become self-aware together, and we'll drink the Kool-Aid and the spaceship will come pick us up and... What else do we have to do? We all have to wear the same Nikes or something? I'm getting all of my cult stuff all put together here. And,
that Heaven's Gate? Was that Heaven's
Gate? Yeah, there's a whole bunch. And we'll go to Waco, Texas. And, I'll put them all together. So, anyhow, I think the ultimate gift is if when someone says, I'm going to pray for you. So I'm going to pray for you, Diego Sanchez. that's backhand slap in the face when people say that. It means they're dissing you. But regardless, I didn't. That's basically the biggest news story of the week, really. I haven't seen that YouTube guy's name. We haven't even mentioned it for a few episodes, so that's been nice. Nate Diaz got a minor injury, so his fight got pushed. Because Leon Edwards got pushed back from UFC 262 to UFC 263, which is a bit, it's not an issue, but it's too bad because 262 really needs that fight, while 263 is already stacked with two title fights, so that's a bit of a bummer, but it sounds like it's still going to happen, so that's a positive, I guess.
Yeah, and you still got Tony Ferguson on there.
That's right,
he's
yeah.
He's not like a super draw anymore, but if you're using him as a co-main event, like, he's still a good co-main event.
Oh, and you got Caitlin Chookagian, too, so there you go.
A lot of people hate
fighter,
on,
dude.
I will say a lot of people hate on Caitlin Chookagian because mostly because of the noise that she makes when she fights, right? Like that's 90% of the hate on Caitlin Chookagian. I will say this: her grappling is super underrated. She's like a Danaher Death Squad girl and like has good leg locks and stuff like that. I think she's more exciting than people give her credit for.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to hate her, and that name just popped off the page. And
yeah, she's definitely not a big draw.
It's a good name to say, so. but now we're looking at 263. We got Izzy versus Marvin Vettori for the middleweight belt. We got Figueiredo Moreno 2 for the flyweight belt. We got Edwards versus Diaz. We got Damian Maia versus Bilal Muhammad, which I'm very interested in seeing. It's pretty stacked. So that's going to be John Calderwood, Laura Murphy, that's like a number one contender fight, probably.
Definitely.
Yeah, if Dan had his way, Laura Murphy would already have her title fight. But
that's correct.
We'll save that because he is a fanboy of her. So, all right, we should get to this wacky card we have coming up, which was still we had a lot of fun with the TBD versus TBD thing last episode, but it was still headlined by TBD versus TBD up to what? Tuesday night, like late Tuesday night, I think, was when they officially, or sometime Tuesday, they officially announced it actually was going to be Rodriguez versus Watterson. This is like one of the wackiest things I've ever seen. I think apparently they were having some logistical issues getting Rodriguez to the event, I think. Maybe she's Brazilian, I believe, right? So she had trouble getting into the States, but it sounds like it's a go now. But I don't remember, other than like an injury replacement last minute, I don't remember a main event being announced this late in fight week.
No, I definitely don't either. And for what it's worth, too, Michelle Watterson came out and said, I didn't realize it wasn't official because she had like just gone through like it was official since for like a week and a half now or something like that. So like, I guess there probably were some hiccups, which is why they didn't like announce it. But like, I think it was pretty much a done deal.
Right. And it's apparently it's going to be a 5-round if they need to go that far. We're thinking it's going to be a slaughter, but it's going to be scheduled for 5 rounds, which is good. Also, it's a pretty solid card all around. I do fight card rankings on MMA Manifesto site, and this one came up out. It's based on where fighters are in my performance rankings. So basically, better the fighters are, the higher the card gets ranked, that type of thing. Giving extra weight for the main event and co-main event, and this ranks slightly above average. So I think I was hating on it earlier on, but it's pretty solid fight card, and we have some of our favorite hashtag chunky guys on it. So it should be a fun card to break down whenever I stop rambling and we actually get to it.
Yeah, I think so. And like, there's a couple of these fights, whether or not they are like big names or whether or not they're like super relevant in their division, the style matchup on at least one that I have my eye on is going to be so intriguing.
Oh, well, there you go, guys. If that's not enough to get you through, get you through this ad read I'm going to do, if you don't stick around after this ad read for that little spoiler, that little hint that Dan threw out there that I don't know what would keep you hanging on. So, let's tell you about WynnBET as I'm tripping over my words here. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. I think Dan's going to take over because I'm having trouble speaking. So it's going to be his podcast going forward, and I will be the associate host. But, all right, let's start things. Welterweight, the man who's impossible to Google, Christian Aguilera, not Christina Aguilera. I know what I typed in Google. I typed in Christian Aguilera. I do not want the pop star. I want the knockout machine MMA artist, okay? He is fighting against the debuting Carlston Harris, who has a bunch of other names too, I believe. Mokambik, I think, is his nickname, and I think he's got a middle name too. He's got a cool name, regardless. So, Dan's supposed to jump in and tell me what it is, but he doesn't know it all, so apparently. So I'm going to have to look it up. Carlston Lindsay Mokambik is his name, Harris. So that's a pretty decent name. Let's talk about the genie in the bottle first, Mr. Aguilera. He's 14-7 with 11 knockouts. He has been knocked out himself four times as a pro. He's 1-1 in the UFC. He won his debut and then got subbed his last fight. He's 4 years younger than the debuting Harris. He's at plus 135. As for Harris, 15-4, four knockouts, four submissions. Like I said, this is his debut. He's coming in the UFC on the strength of three straight wins. He's 3 inches taller. He's at minus 137. I'm going to start things off with a bang, and I'm taking the knockout artist plus for plus money in this one in Aguilera.
Yeah, and I'm going to side with you, too. I'm going to go with dog off the bat, too, with Aguilera. Look, I looked a little bit up at Carlston Harris because I'll be honest, even as a regional guy, I hadn't really seen all that much of him. I know he fought in Brave, which is an organization I watch once in a while, but really not all that often because it's not super convenient to be able to watch. He fought in UAE Warriors, which sometimes you can catch, and Shooto Brazil airs on Fight Pass. But like for most of what I've seen, the opponents he looks like he's fighting kind of lackluster, and even more lackluster when it comes to defending takedowns and defending submissions. So, you know, like his wins, yeah, he's got some submission wins. He's got quite a few wins from the top game. He's got a bunch of Darce chokes. He counters wrestling really well. But I don't actually think he's going to get all that many opportunities to grapple with Christian Aguilera because he's not going to shoot, right? Like, Christian Aguilera is not going to shoot in this fight. He's going to try to turn this into something gritty, something nasty. And I think he's going to succeed. And if he does succeed in sort of sucking Carlston Harris into that fight, I think it's all him, right? Like, I think he's got to be the better striker, the faster striker, you know. And I actually, you know, you mentioned he's the shorter fighter in this one. I actually think that plays in pretty well when it comes to being the guy who's might have to be defending the takedown, right? He's got a lower center of gravity. He's a little bit stronger. All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm taking Aguilera off the bat here. I will say I'd rather have some, like, good film on Harris before I got too happy with a pick like this. But I do like Aguilera in this one.
He, when looking at Harris, he does have some decent names on his resume. Michelle Pereira he beat, Wellington Turman he beat, so he has beaten UFC fighters. These were all what, four or five years ago, so it's not like they're recent ones, but regardless of what we're going against him. As an aside, how many promotions do you regularly watch? You just mentioned a bunch that you catch sometimes or a bunch that you catch. How many do you regularly watch? So we know what kind of maniac we're dealing with here, guys.
I would say regularly I watch, ONE FC when it's on a convenient way, even if it's tape delayed, I would say I regularly watch that. I regularly watch PFL. Anytime CES MMA is on, I don't miss those. CES MMA is really good. Usually because I love the local sense of it and I'm a Massachusetts boy, I don't miss a Cage Titans event. Cage Titans usually has some like really fun local Massachusetts guys. So I would say I regularly watch those five. And then there's probably like 5 to 10. Oh, LFA too. I always watch LFA. So six that I regularly watch.
PFL is actually on regular TV in Canada now, so I actually watched last week. It was very good.
Not to sort of like kick off of this UFC card, they've got some sick fights this week too. It's headlined by Fabricio Werdum versus Hernan Problema Ferreira, who I'm a big fan of. So
and they got Baby Usman. Right, they do. They have Kamaru Usman's little brother, and they got Kayla Harrison, who's always like watching her because she smashes people. So there you go. So Dan watches way more than I do, yet I'm hitting at 57%, and he's at, what, 54, 55? So just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's but who's ahead in the money lead, though?
Yeah, it's true. He's doing less poorly than I am money-wise. It's true. Very true. All right, let's move on to middleweights. Us dumb North Americans call him Jun Young Park, but his name's really mixed around differently than that in his homeland of Korea, but regardless, we'll call him Jun Young Park because we're dumb North Americans. He is fighting in a middleweight fight against Tefan Nuchukwi. Park, 12-4 with 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He has lost twice, so half of his losses are via submission. Throw that out there. He's not fighting someone who submits people, though, so that's probably worthless info that I'm sticking in your eardrums. He is 2-1 in the UFC. He lost his debut, then he's reeled off, we'll say. He's reeled off 2 straight wins since then. 4 inches of reach on Nuchukwi. Grappling advantage in his favor. He's at plus 125. Nuchukwi, 5-0, 4 knockouts. He's 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 on Contender Series. He's 2 inches taller, 3 years younger. He's a more active striker, but we're talking, he's had a couple fights inside and knocked it on. So small sample size, but not the smallest. He's at minus 137. Dan, are you going with the dog again, or are you taking the chalk here?
I'm going chalk here in Nuchukwi. I actually think Jun Young Park is pretty damn good. I'm interested to see what he does moving forward, because not only does he have, 2 UFC wins now, but he also has wins outside of the UFC against Ray Cooper, who's a PFL guy. Yay, let's just keep it going.
Very, very good PFL guy.
Yeah, he's outstanding. So, knocked out Jake Shields twice. Apart from that, his 2 wins in the UFC are against guys who I'm not super impressed in, right? John Phillips, maybe one of the worst at defending takedowns in the UFC in recent memory, since James Toney, maybe. Marc-Andre Barrio, was in the midst of a 4-fight losing streak when he entered that fight. So, we're talking about a pair of guys he's got wins over, both not particularly good at defending takedowns, and pretty much all he did was take him down and lay on him. He's up against one of the strongest men at middleweight in history. He's so big, he's so strong, and his power is incredible. People talk about how William Knight is a guy who's super powerful, and he's so hard to knock out, and he's so hard to finish. And Nuchukwi is the only guy to have done it. Nuchukwi is a beast. So, there's a lot of reasons to like Jun Young Park. I just don't think he's going to go in there and take Nuchukwi down. And if he stands with him too long, I just don't see that going well.
Yeah, and Nuchukwi is my pick also. Maybe a prop bet via KO, since he's such a monster, perhaps?
I think yes, probably. I got to definitely look at the number on that, though, because last time out he did look a tad tentative, could also just drive the number way up, too. So we'll put the intern on that one.
All right. Let's go flyweights. Ryan Benoit or Benoit, depending on how you want to say it, versus Zuruk Adashev. When breaking down these guys, I'm like, why are these guys in the UFC still? Because the records are not pretty, especially flyweight, where there's barely any fighters in the class to begin with. So Adashev, he's 3-3 as a pro, so he's extensive experience, obviously. 2 knockouts, he's 0-2 in the UFC. Before that, he won 3 straight in Bellator. He's 3-0 in Bellator. He's 3 years younger. He's at plus 128. Benoit Benoit, 10-7, 8 knockouts, 1 submission, so very rare finisher in the lightweight class, like flyweight. He's finished all of his wins except 1. 3-5 in the UFC. He's lost his 2 straight. He's only won 1 of his last 4. He's got 3 inches of reach. Striking and active striking stats are in his favor. He throws more strikes and he lands more strikes. And he's got basically all the striking stats are in his favor. That's what I'm saying. Grappling stats also in his favor. Minus 137. He is my pick to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Benoit in here this one, too. You mentioned he hasn't won very much lately. That's true. He's fought some really tough dudes in those last 4 fights. The loss to Tim Elliott's tough. He lost a split to Haile Alatang. That was after coming off of a 2-year layoff. He lost a split to Brandon Moreno. A split to Brandon Moreno. He knocked out Sergio Pettis. So, this is a guy with good hands and a guy who's turned some fights really gritty, right? Like, hanging in there with Tim Elliott even for 3 rounds is a pretty good thing. I actually think in this fight, you know, Adeshev is a guy who likes to stand and trade as well, so we're going to see a lot of kickboxing. Should that go wrong for Benoit, whatever you want to call him?
You got me doing it, too.
I'm pretty sure it's Benoit, to be honest.
Really?
I don't think he does the Canadian thing. Maybe he's trying to distance himself from the professional wrestler.
I can see that. Definitely.
I just think if things go badly for him, he's got the wrestling to fall back on, and Adeshev does not. So in that reason, you know, like, both of these guys haven't super impressed me on the feet, but Benoit has got a longer, more extensive record and has done it against better guys, and in addition to that, he's got a backup plan. So in a fight where I'm not all that confident about either of the guys, I think that's enough to make me lean to him.
There you go. And professional wrestling has organically been mentioned, what, 3 or 4 straight now?
Yeah, that's where we're classified on iTunes, in case you're looking
exactly.
for us in the charts. Make sure to check us out in the German professional wrestling chart.
Exactly. The Germans love us. The catch wrestling fans love us. All right, before we go on, let me tell you about our good friends over at Roman. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with the doctor and take care of it. So go to GetRoman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/SGP. Get started now and save $15 on your first month of treatment. Since I've read that ad, do you want to come clean now, Dan, and tell us the real reason why you're named Gumby?
Ooh, that is a... See, there you go. You're back to being mean to me. There it is.
There you go. No, it's just a joke.
An ED joke.
So you don't want to tell us? You want to claim it's because of jiu-jitsu still?
Because I've got to be Gogo Plata.
All right. There you go. Gogo Plata has been mentioned on the podcast, too. Ring an alarm. All right. Let's move on from the bad jokes. Featherweight. Ludovit Klein. Is that how you say it? Ludovit?
That's how I say it.
L apostrophe Udit Klein versus Michael Trizano. I just read a very good article on Klein on MMA-Manifesto today. You may want to check out, everybody. May be tipping his cap as to who he's picking, though. Let's go with Mike Trizano. He's 8-1, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions, 2-1 in the UFC. He got subbed in his last fight, so that was his first loss. He had won 8 straight before then as a pro. He was 1-0 in Bellator also. His loss was way back in May of 2019, so he's been on the shelf. Do you know, I think I heard on the prelim picker, he was I know he was injured at one point. Was that the reason why he was out for 2 years?
I guess, you know? I think he had a fight canceled once.
Okay.
Due to an ankle injury, but before that he had surgery on something that got repaired.
Yeah. I'm
trying to remember now, too, and I forgot what my co-host said.
It doesn't matter, but anyhow, he's been out for a while, but since I've been tracking these stats for the past 2 years, it's only fighters who've been off a year or more are batting 500. So it's really made no difference. It's like 50-50 basically. So he is 4 inches taller than Klein. He has his grappling stats in his favor, and he's at plus 227 if you want to take him. Klein 17-2 with 8 knockouts, 8 submissions. 1-0 in the UFC. He won via knockout. It was a crazy head kick, was it not?
Yes. Very crazy.
Yes,
one.
Yes, it was. There we go. He's won 8 straight fights. He's got an inch of reach. He's 4 years younger. He's 2.5 times the more active striker than Trizano. That's landing strikes. He lands 2.5 times more strikes than Trizano. But we're basing that off of what one fight in the UFC. He's at minus 240. Big number, but I'll be taking him.
Yeah, I'm going to take Klein as well, and I feel pretty good about it because, let's face it, he definitely has a striking advantage over, man, a lot of featherweights out there. Now, obviously, there's some really talented strikers at the top of the division with people like, you know, Chikadze and Cater and Holloway and I mean, even Volkanovski, right? But, like, as far as where he stands currently at the featherweight division, there's not a lot of guys outside of the top 15, 20, 25 that are really going to challenge him with striking. His striking is really special, And Trizano is a guy who probably will have a wrestling advantage, and I actually think his wrestling's pretty good, but he uses it mostly in, like, a sprawl and brawl type style, right? Like, he'd much rather use his wrestling to keep it on the feet so he could strike. You know, you saw him do that against Luis Pena. You saw him do that against Joe Giannetti. So, like, I don't really expect him to be offensive with the wrestling here. Granted, I don't know how Klein is defensive wrestling-wise, because there's really just not, like, a lot of people have tried to take him down. They've all stupidly tried to strike with him. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if that happens. I just think, with Trizano not having shot many takedowns in his last few fights, I don't think that that's a real path to victory for him. So I'm going to go with a much sharper striker here in Klein.
All right. Yep. Usually, if in doubt, one of my rules is take the striker, and that's what we'll be doing here. So we have not differed yet. Let's see if we differ here. I don't think we're going to, because Dan always picks against this guy. That would be literally flawed.
You're right.
He's always winning, though. He's always winning when Dan picks against him. So Phil Hawes versus Kyle Daukaus, one of the famous Daukaus brothers. This would be the lighter weight of the two. So let's break down the often overlooked Phil Hawes, at least in this podcast. He's 10-2, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions, 2-0 in the UFC, 1-1 on the Contender Series before the UFC. He's won 6 straight fights. He's also was 1-0 in Bellator and 1-0 in the World Series of Fighting. He's got an inch of reach. He's at +125. Daukaus, 10-1. 8 submission victories on his resume. He's never been finished in a fight, so he lost 1 via decision. He's 1-1 in the UFC, which is where that the decision loss came. He did win his last fight, lost his debut, won his last fight. He won his way in on the Contender Series. He's 1-0 in there. 3 inches taller, 4 years younger. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. Grappling stats in his favor. He's at -137. I'm going to pick against Hawes also, and probably be wrong, because I think you're going against him, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go against him as well. Yeah. I will say, you're right, he has proven me wrong twice. You know, the first one, the win over Malkin, which, by the way, aged incredibly well, because Malkin looks like a killer now, that you just can't, you know, get off you once he starts taking you down. I think if you ran that back, I think I'd pick Malkin again. I'm dead serious. Like, I think Malkin, as long as he doesn't eat that punch 18 seconds in, I think he out-grapples him and tires him out. And, you know, that's kind of been my knock on Hawes the whole time, is that I don't really believe in his gas tank. So for me, it's really he's got to knock the guy out or he loses. And, yeah, he did win a decision last time against Nassourdin Imavov, who also kind of tired. And not for anything, I know not a lot of people agree with me, I do think Imavov won that decision. I gave him 2 out of the 3 rounds. So while the judges gave it to Hawes, and, you know, quite a few people on MMA decisions gave it to Hawes, I do think Imavov has a real argument there for having won that fight. So with that being said, he's fighting Daukaus, a guy who's very durable, a guy who's not easy to finish, a guy who Brendan Allen took down and couldn't finish, because Brendan Allen, you know, a phenomenal jiu-jitsu practitioner, couldn't finish in his own right, never been finished for that matter, right? So, like, I just see Phil Hawes is going to have to go into deep waters with a guy who can literally sub you at any moment, right? Like, it's not like he's just one of those guys who, like, can sub people early on and then gets tired and has got nothing left. He's got subs in every round. He's got Dar's chokes in every round. Like, not even just subs. He's got Dar's chokes in every round. So, like, I just think Daukaus frustrates him enough, tires him out enough, so that, hey, maybe one desperation shot from Phil Hawes and we get a submission here.
All right, so fool me once, fool me twice. I don't know what fool me 3 times is, but maybe Phil Hawes will fool you 3 times, and then we'll have to come up with an expression there, Dan.
I'm going to have to start picking him if he wins.
I think you'll be obligated, yes. All right, brings us to the main event, and let me check my records. Yes, according to my scouting report here, both these guys are hashtag chunky guys. I tickle myself that I actually put this on my scouting spreadsheet, that I have breakdowns for each person, and I have chunky listed under both men. And this is a fight that was scheduled, a few months back, and then it was – did we ever break it down? Yeah, we did break it down on the program, because we picked different people. We'll see if that's – still the case.
Oh, this man, would be I don't a heavyweight. Even remember who I picked in this.
Oh, okay,
one.
Good.
This is going to be interesting.
I won't tip my hand then. This is a heavyweight belt between Ben Rothwell and Felipe Lins. They're supposed to fight Edwards versus Muhammad. So that was March 13th. So it was a few months ago. And then Rothwell got hurt. So they are fighting here in the main event of the prelims. We'll break down Lynn's first. This one's very close on the – is basically a pick-em on the board. Currently, Lynn's 14-5 with 8 knockouts and 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times himself. He's lost both of his UFC fights. Before that, he's 4-0 in the PFL, 3-3 in Bellator. 4 years younger than Rothwell. He's at minus 102. And, yes, indeed, it says he's chunky here. Rothwell, 38-13, 28 knockouts, 6 submissions. He debuted January of 2001, so he's been around a while. He's 8-7 in the UFC. He lost his last fight, and he's only won 2 of his last 6 fights. 2 inches taller. He'll be, according to the previous fight's weigh-ins, he could be up to at least 30 pounds heavier than Lynn's, at least on weigh-in day, maybe even heavier when they actually get to the fight. He's a chunky guy also, as a matter of fact. He has the grappling stats in his favor. He's also the more active striker. He's at minus 105. Despite all that, I picked Lynn's, and I guess I got to stick with who I picked originally. I think I picked him just because I think Rothwell's done for. But I guess I'll stick with Lynn's, even though a lot of the stats are pointing towards Rothwell here.
I think I'm going to pick Lynn's too, but what you're telling me is, did I originally pick Rothwell?
You did.
Man, you know, I think the change here for me is that, you know, so Lynn's didn't look good against Tanner Boser or Andre Arlovski, right? Like, he's been in the UFC for only 2 fights and he's looked miserable.
Two tough fights, though, to be fair.
Yeah, and here's the thing about those 2 fights, too. It's not just that those are 2 tough opponents, right? Because, you know, you're going to fight tough opponents if you're coming from a $1 million paycheck in PFL. But, like, I think in addition to that, too, is there 2 guys who aren't afraid to just, like, dance around and point fight you? And Rothwell's not that, right? Like, Rothwell's not going to outwork you in a smart way. Rothwell's going to make it ugly and probably kick you in the nutsack 7 times, right? Like, that's how Ben Rothwell fights, is it gets gritty, it gets nasty. And I actually think that favors Lynn's. Like, I think Lynn's needs to be drawn into that type of fight again, like the type of fight he was with Josh Copeland in PFL and things like that. And if he gets drawn into that type of fight, I actually think it favors him pretty heavily. So I'm going to spurn whenever I pick this before, and I'm going to go with you in Felipe Lynn's.
All right, so that's a clean sweep on the prelims. So we're all the same. It's going to be boring watching this, but that probably means we're right for so certain. I failed to mention Lynn's was the winner of the PFL 2018 heavyweight tournament, and he was expected to try to defend it, but then he got hurt the second season, and now he's in the UFC, so making a lot less than $1 million. I can promise you that. So that concludes the prelims. I failed to mention off the get-go, but this will be on ESPN Plus, and the prelims start at 5 o'clock. Then the main card will move over to the big ESPN, ESPN and ESPN Plus, and that will be 8 o'clock. So on the East Coast, the best coast, and I appreciate the earlier start times. It's good. We don't have to stay up all night because we're old men and we have a podcast to record the next day, for crying out loud. So, all right. So that is the prelims. Let me hit you up with our last 2 sponsors, and then we'll rip through the main card, our trademark commercial-free main card. Let's tell you about Underdog Fantasy, one of our new sponsors, first of all. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check out their fantasy best ball tournaments, because they're some of the best around, including their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament, where you can win $1 million. See, I need the post-production guy. I need him to sweeten that so it echoes when I say $1 million. $1 million. Dollars, 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 dollars. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlay and player props for Major League Baseball, the NBA, and more. They do need to add UFC. If you're listening to Underdog Fantasy, add UFC on there. And even MMA, if you prefer. They also have a very special NBA playoffs, best ball tournament coming up as well, because the playoffs start in 2 weeks in the NBA. How about that? So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code, you guessed it, SGPN. Don't forget to enter the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. Dollars, dollars, dollars. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And we'll tell you about BetterThan.Vegas, which I mentioned earlier. That's where the bombshell of me shaving went off last Saturday. And like I said, it's still reverberating throughout the degen internet. BetterThan.Vegas, it's like YouTube, but for what hashtag degens only care about, which is sports betting and beards. We're giving away free daily video picks over on our Better Than Vegas profile page, us being Sports Gambling Podcast, of course. Bet Online Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well, and they have a bunch of free picks and handicappers to check out. So make sure you subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV, and subscribe to Top Turtle, too, while you're there. You can see Dan. All right, now let's do this. Main card. ESPN, ESPN Plus, like I said, 8 p.m. We'll start with women's strawweight, a fight I am looking forward to. Amanda Ribas, the cutest little fighter in the UFC, versus Angela Hill, one of the most popular fighters and most active fighters in the UFC. Hill, 13-9 with 5 knockouts. She's 8-9 in the UFC, split over 2 different runs. She won her last fight, which was her only win in her last 3, but basically she fights every week, so that's basically 3 weeks worth of fights there, pretty much. 4-0 in Invicta before, or in between, actually, the 2 stints in the UFC. She was in the tough house where she went 0-1, and she's the more active striker of the two, and she's at plus 160. Ribas, 10-2 with 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been knocked out twice, including being TKO'd in her last fight. Before that, she's ripped off 4 straight wins, so she's 4-1 in the UFC. She's got 2 inches of reach. She's 8 years younger. She is a grappling whiz, so the grappling stats are in her favor. She's a jiu-jitsu whiz. She's at minus 172. We'll let Dan take first pick here.
I'm going to take Ribas. I actually think, look, the best part about Angela Hill and the thing that has gotten her as far as she has is not a particular skill set as much as it is her strength and will and determination and her ability to put somebody against the cage and just kind of grit out a decision. And that's not to say that her striking isn't good, but I think when her striking is going badly or, you know, the grappling isn't working out the way she wants to, she has that strength to fall back on. And I don't think she has that to fall back on against Ribas. I think Ribas is probably actually one of the few people who can manhandle her and can throw her around. I think her striking is not only a little bit better than Angela Hill's, I think it's a lot better than Angela Hill's. And I think the odds of this fight are only as close because Marina Rodriguez went out there and put it on Amanda Ribas. And I know that that's a thing that happened. But at the same time, like, you know, there's a reason Marina Rodriguez is fighting in the main event, too. And it's not just because she beat Ribas. It's because she's a beast on the feet. So I like Ribas a lot in this one. I think the striking holds up well enough. And I think, you know, should, you know, Hill try to clinch up here, I think it's going to end badly for her there, too.
So we're guaranteeing a super hyper bubbly post-fight interview then?
I hope so. Her interviews are pretty hilarious.
They are.
I don't know. She's pretty much the polar opposite of Marvin Vettori in that
yes.
I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something that is funny about her inherently, and it, like you can't just say like, oh, she's funny because she has like funny catchphrases, or she's funny because she, you know. You know, that's why people find Derek Lewis funny, right? Like, he's got funny catchphrases. She's not funny for any reason, the same reason I feel like Marvin Vettori is disliked and angry for no reason.
Yep, she is the opposite of angry boy, definitely, in both senses of that word. So, all right, move on. Lightweights, Carlos Diego Ferreira, which I believe he's just going by Diego Ferreira in most places I see now. He will be fighting Gregor Gillespie, who is finally coming back. Gillespie was supposed to fight in March against Brad Riddell, but COVID protocol put that fight on the sidelines last minute. So he's finally getting a fight because he's been out for a while. I'll tell you about Ferreira first. 17-3 with 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's 8-3 in the UFC. Had a very successful run thus far. He lost his last fight, but before that he won 6 straight fights. So he was 6-1. Over his last 7, that would be, according to my math. He's 2 inches taller. He's got 3 inches of reach. More active striker of the two. He's at plus 158. Gillespie, 13-1. 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's 6-1 in the UFC, but that one in his record came in his last fight where he got knocked out by Kevin Lee. That was November 2019, though. I think he's probably been off fishing since that time. That seems to be what he prefers to do rather than fight. He's a year younger. Striking and grappling stats in his favor, minus 172. I think Dan and I are going to probably be the same again here because I'm taking Gillespie. Are you taking Gillespie as well?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
I think this is a really easy one, too. Yep. You know, not to tip my hand for maybe one of our segments later, but I think this one's so painfully obvious. Look, I love Carlos Diego Fajeda, too, and I think he probably got slighted in having to fight some of the people he had to and not moving further up the rankings at a certain point. But, like, this is an awful stylistic matchup. He just got done losing a decision. Was it a decision to Beneil Dariush? Yeah, it was a decision to Beneil Dariush.
Yeah, it was.
And, like, he got taken down a bunch of times in that fight, right? And not that Beneil Dariush isn't a good grappler, but he is 1/8 of the wrestler, maybe 1/10 of the wrestler Gregor Gillespie is. Gregor Gillespie might be, now that Khabib is out of the division, the best wrestler at lightweight. So you're telling me a guy just got done having a tough time with some wrestling, and you put him in there with the best wrestler. So, I mean, like, what's the path to victory here for Fajeda? Stun him on the feet before he gets you down, which doesn't usually take all that long because Gillespie knows what he's good at. Or sub him, and really Gillespie's submission offense is even good. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't think there's a good path to victory here for Fajeda, and I think Gillespie on top is just a nightmare.
No doubt, and this is a good matchup for Gillespie coming off he's had plenty of time to heal up since being knocked out like 2 years ago almost, but he's fighting a guy who doesn't knock people out, like 3 knockouts in 20 fights, nothing to worry about. So we are the same once again. Let's see if we are the same here with this heavyweight fight, and let me check my records. Yes, indeed, this is a hashtag chunky guy fight as well. We're getting spoiled this week. 4 chunky guys on the card. We love it. All right, let's talk. We're obviously talking about Marcos Rogério de Lima versus Maurice Greene. Greene, 9-5 with 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's 4-3 in the UFC. Lost his last fight. He's 1-3 over his last 4. His last win, however, or his only win among those 4, was via submission. Something to mention once I break down De Lima's info. He's 6 inches taller, 5 inches of reach, 1 year younger. He's more active striker, plus 170. De Lima, or Rogério, I guess you would say Rogério De Lima, right? Because Marcos would be the first name. So Rogério De Lima, 17-7-1, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. He has 5 submission losses on his record. So there you go. That's what I was hinting at. He's 6-5 in the UFC. I heard on the really good prelim picker podcast, I guess you guys thought this may have been a prelim fight, which normally it would be. He's what, swapped wins and losses all the way back to 2014, it looks like.
Yeah,
wild. Yeah, so wins and losses all the way back to 2014, and he lost his last fight. So am I gonna go against the grain or not? Let's see. Yes, he lost the last fight. He's only won 1 of his last 3. His last 5 losses are via submission, so all 5 of those sub losses have come within the past, 10 fights, I guess, if you swap him fights, but wins the losses back and forth. He was 0-1 in Strikeforce before this. He was in the Tough Brazil house. He was 2-1 there. Striking and grappling stats in his favor. He's a minus 170, and indeed it says here he's a chunky guy. I'm going against a lot of those stats. I'm going to go for some plus money here. I think Greene can beat him, probably beat him via submission if you want to get even better than plus 170 on it.
Yeah, and I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to take Greene here. Yeah, not going to differ from you because, look, De Lima, you're right. He's losing by submission. Granted, there are some really good submission artists in there, right? Like losing to Stefan Struve and Alexander Romanov. You know, like those are guys who can submit you. Or, you know, getting Von Flue choked by OSP. That's something that happens. But there's some sketchy ones on there, too. Like getting guillotined by Gada Murazov and Tigalov, who is not great, and you know, like, so, and that mostly just came from just, like, you know, shooting a lazy takedown with his head on the outside and getting choked out, you know, and so, I'm not real big on De Lima. I think De Lima makes a lot of mistakes in there, and, you know, the other thing, too, that you can kind of expect in this fight is De Lima might get peppered from the outside and frustrated. You know, he's given up 6 inches of height and a lot of reach, so, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Greene may give him trouble on the feet and watch him shoot a lazy takedown or a bad takedown to try to get away from the hands of Greene. And that's just a nightmare idea, but that's kind of what I think is going to happen with De Lima, who I don't really see as having very high fight IQ.
Yep. We are agreeing once again. This is getting scary.
Well, we're only down to 3 fights, man.
I know.
We gotta make some decisions.
I'm nice to you, and we're agreeing with each other. Something is going on here. Okay, let's move welterweight. This is the battle for whether Neil is a better as a first name or a last name. Neil Magny versus Jeff Neil. We will see who is the best Neil and whether it's better surname or forename or first name or whatever you want to say. Neil Magny, let's break down the veteran first. 24-8 with 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's lost 4 times via submission, so half his losses are via submission. Neil's not much of a submission artist, though. He's 17-7 in the UFC. He's been around forever. He lost his last fight, but before that, he won 3 straight. He's 4 inches taller, 5 inches of reach, so he's always seems to be the bigger man, or the longer man, at least, in welterweight. He's at plus 164. Jeff Neal, 13-3 with 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's 5-1 in the UFC. He had won his first 5 and then lost his last fight. He was 1-0 on the Contender Series, 3 years younger. He's got the striking stats and active striking stats in his favor, minus 181. Let's see if we differ here. I'm going to take Neal, as in Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal.
I'm also going to take Jeff Neal.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Look, I've been really high on Jeff Neal since he came to the UFC. Loved him on Contender Series. You know, I really think there's a lot of potential in what he can do. And the only reason, you know, he's back down to fighting guys like Neil Magny is he had a tough time with freaking Wonderboy. And who wouldn't have a tough time with Wonderboy? That guy's style is impossible to figure out. So, yeah, he got picked apart from the outside by Wonderboy. But, like, Neil Magny, while tall, while long, while lanky, is not really the type of guy who's, like, hard to get on the inside of or hard to land your strikes on. So I kind of just expect, you know, Jeff Neal here to be, you know, chucking off takedown attempts from Magny when Magny's, you know, trying them and landing at will with the strikes. Because he is a much better striker here than Neil Magny. So, I'm going to go with Jeff Neal. And I'm going to go with Jeff Neal fairly comfortably in this one, too.
It's amazing how smart Dan is this week. He's really, really improved his picking ability. Let's go to another welterweight fight. This one was just made a few days ago. Donald Cowboy Cerrone, the perennial fan favorite, versus Alex Morono. Morono just took this fight after Diego Sanchez got fired or cut, I think they call it. So that was what. When did Morono take the fight? Let's see here. He took the fight on the 3rd of May, and this fight is taking place on the 8th. So not much time to get prepared here. Late replacements, if you believe in the numbers, have only won 35% of the time. So take that into account as I read off the info here. Morono, 18-7 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. In the UFC, he is 7-4 with 1 no contest. Lost his last fight. He's only won 1 of his last 3. He's 7 years younger than the Cowboy. He also has striking and the active striking stats in his favor. He's at plus 118. As for Cowboy, 36-15 with 2 no contests, 10 knockouts, 17 submissions. He's lost 7 times via knockout. He's 23-12 with 1 no contest in the UFC, which is insane. Because before that, he was 6-3 with 1 no contest in WEC Never Die. His last fight was a no contest. I believe he lost it before it got overturned to a no contest.
Draw before, but no contest.
Right.
Yeah.
He lost 4 straight before that, so it's been a while since he's won a fight. He's 2 inches taller. He has 1 inch of reach. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 127. I'm going to go against my late replacement data, and I'm going to take the plus money on Alex Morono, and let's see if Dan's going to agree or not.
I'm going to agree again.
I kind of like this, though. This is good.
I think we got a clean sweep, too, because
we do have a clean sweep.
Yeah, if you disagree with me in the main event, we're going to have some words. So
you're going to win if that's the case. So
yeah, that's very true. So Alex Morono in this one is interesting for me because, you know, I actually picked him to beat Anthony Pettis when they fought that fight, and I did it because Morono has good wrestling. He does all right on the inside. And he's when he does scrap and he gets into kind of messy fights like he did with Max Griffin, he looks good doing it. He beat Max Griffin, so he's got a fair amount of power. And, you know, he's way bigger than Cerrone. While Cerrone is going to be the taller man, you know, like, he's not going to be the bigger man, right? Like, Morono isn't actually 170-er, and Cowboy can make 55. You know, maybe not super easy, but he can make 55. So I thought Morono was going to be able to grapple up Pettis, and Pettis' footwork was just a little bit too much. Cerrone doesn't have that footwork, right? Cerrone doesn't have that pick him apart from the outside and don't make it messy kind of deal. He makes it messy. He gets inside. He gets silly. And, like, I think that that's going to serve him really terribly because I think ultimately he's going to get taken down. Morono is going to get enough done on the ground to at least win a decision here. And I'm not going to say he's going to finish Cowboy because it's not easy to finish Cowboy and only the best of the best are doing that. But it really wouldn't surprise me if, like, the ground and pound got to be too much because he's very heavy on top.
Yeah, and Cowboy is getting much easier to finish, too, nowadays than he was back in the WEC, early UFC days, his prime. Have you heard anything about Morono's preparation heading into this? I know he runs his own gym, so he's probably active, and I know he's a Fortis MMA guy, so I'm sure he's obviously well-coached. But have you heard anything whether, like, he was already preparing for a fight or anything? I haven't heard of anything.
So I would say that those Fortis MMA guys are always preparing for a fight, yeah, even if they don't have one. Like, that's kind of just Save Sod's mentality. But also, yeah, I will say, too, you've got two guys on the main card alone who fight out of Fortis MMA, and sure, Carlos Diego Fajeda and Jeff Neal. So, yeah, like, he was probably in their fight camps already, you know, being only one weight class bigger than Carlos Diego Fajeda and being the same weight class as Jeff Neal. You've got, right, to imagine he's one, and Jeff Neal is going up against Neil Magny, a guy who's probably going to try to wrestle him up and use some jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Like, you've got to imagine he's the number one, right? Like, he's one of the big training, right, partners for Jeff Neal in that fight. So I'm imagining that's why he got the fight, that he was ready, he was on weight. This is just a fight that happened. So I don't have any, like, insider intel, but, like, the signs point to he should probably be ready in this fight.
Okay, so no, I feel safer with my pick. So excellent. All right, let's make it a clean 12 for 12. We'll break down the main event now. Marina Rodriguez versus Michelle Watterson, who Dan for some reason hates. Threw a lot of hate her way. I think he's the only person in the world who has a problem with Michelle Watterson because she seems very, very nice and sweet. But regardless, Dan doesn't like nice things, apparently. So, and now he's going to pick against her, and he wants her to get beat up really bad, I think, was the
I do want that. But let me clarify to people who think I'm, like, the most terrible human being. Once in a while, out there are fighters who the masses love. And I think maybe they're not as good as the masses think they are. And I just want them to get pounded. Sage Northcutt fit this mold. Paige VanZant fit this mold. Like, people just wanted them to be bigger than they were. And I just wanted to see them get punched in the head really hard. And Michelle Watterson kind of falls in that for me.
Yeah, I don't think you did yourself any favors with that either.
Did I pick two other people who are well liked?
he wants her to get pounded in the head really hard. Okay. She's a very nice lady, it seems, and a good mother, but okay. All right, if you say so. Watterson, she's 18-8. She got 3 knockouts and 9 submissions victories. She's lost 3 times via submission herself. I don't see that happening here, though. She's 6-4 in the UFC. She won her last fight, lost 2 straight before then. She was 3-1 in Invicta, where she was the atomweight champion, which is seems mostly her issue in the UFC. If she's undersized for the strawweight division, she's more of an atomweight. It seems every episode we're angling or petitioning the UFC for atomweight class. But if they like Michelle Watterson, they should actually get one. And she was 1-0 in Strikeforce before this also. Grappling stats in her favor, +186. Rodriguez, 13-1-2 with 6 knockouts, 1 submission. She's never been finished in a fight. She's 3-1-2 in the UFC. It's crazy that she has 2 draws on her record, but she does in just, 6 fights. She won via TKO her last fight, which Dan just mentioned earlier. Amanda Ribas, she beat up, which isn't very nice of her to do. She's was 1-0 Dana White Contender Series. She's 3 inches taller, 3 inches of reach, 1 year younger, striking and active striking in her favor. -200, let's put a ball in it. Dan and I both are picking her also.
Yeah, I think Marina Rodriguez in this one is a very easy pick for so many reasons. Number one, I mentioned that striking. While people love the striking of Michelle Watterson, Rodriguez is just as good and as sharp in her striking and definitely hits harder. You know, like you go back and think about that Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway fight. You're like, oh, those are 2 guys who land with a ton of volume. And the difference in that fight was just one hits like a ton of bricks and one hits like a bag full of soap. And like, yeah, both of those hurt, but one of them hurts a lot more. And really, that's Marina Rodriguez in this one. She's just going to be the Dustin Poirier to the Max Holloway here, in that she's going to absolutely punish Michelle Watterson for trading with her. In addition to that, too, you know, like, who's given Marina Rodriguez problems in the past? People who can grapple. And not that Michelle Waterson can't grapple, but she's not, like, a wrestler. And in addition, so she's not going to be able to get it there. And in addition to that, this fight is taking place at flyweight because it's happening on short notice. And you just mentioned, Waterson used to fight two weight classes lower than that.
That's right. Yeah, and, I didn't even clue in here. Yeah, yeah, it's flyweight, and, not strawweight, yes.
Yeah, and Rodriguez is a big strawweight. So now we're taking Rodriguez and saying, hey, Rodriguez, you don't have to cut weight. And now she's fighting an atom weight. You know, like she gets to fight at her natural weight against an atom weight. Like, and granted, she probably still will have to cut quite a bit of weight, too, because, like, even making flyweight for her is going to be a task. But, like, that not having to cut that last 10 pounds for her, I think it's going to be huge. And, you know, yeah, Waterson doesn't have to cut the last 10 pounds either, but she used to cut 20 more than that. So, you know, how much is it really saving her? I think less than it's saving Rodriguez here. So I expect to see Rodriguez look fresher, maybe better. And I think just the striking is going to be, and the power in the striking is going to be too much here for Waterson.
Yeah, the size and the power, I think, is going to be the difference here. The difference between, like you said, they're both strikers, or Waterson pretends to be a striker, even though half of her wins are via submission. But difference being Waterson's has 3 knockouts and 18 wins, and Rodriguez basically half of her wins are via knockouts, 6 out of 13. So there's a big power discrepancy, as Dan said. Do you think we're going to get a finish here? I could see Rodriguez pounding her out, like ground and pounding her out after she knocks her down.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a real possibility, just mostly because it's 5 rounds.
Right.
I mean, Amanda Ribas didn't make it that long with Rodriguez. Yeah. Like, Rodriguez hits hard. And like you said, you know, changing the weight classes and letting her have her full strength is just going to make that more dangerous. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't be surprised to see a finish here. You know, Waterson's tough, but yeah, like, not impossible to finish.
Yeah, no, she's very, very tough, but she seems to wear it also, though. Was this just recently, like, announced that it was going to be flyweight? Was it originally expected? I guess the fight was only recently announced, but was everyone just assuming it was going to be strawweight? Because I'm pretty sure when I did the fight card yesterday or whatever, I thought it was listed as strawweight at that point. Do you know or not?
Yeah, I have no idea what was originally planned. I just know when I saw the UFC posted that graphic that said, you know, main event, it said flyweight main event, and I was like, ooh, that's even worse for her.
Hey, better for, yeah, I had it listed as strawweight, so I think it must have been a strawweight earlier in the week, at least, before it was officially announced. So that is interesting. I think I'm still going to leave both ladies as strawweights, because I think that's where they're going to end up. I think it's just a one-off.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's one of those situations where they needed somebody on short notice, and the only way they could entice them was not cutting weight.
Yeah. Plus, I just saw headline that Rodriguez got herself a new contract too, which is nice. So that's another good thing to entice someone to take a fight. So, all right. So we're thinking that one we may have a TKO finish there for Rodriguez, or even a knockout for that matter. Any other props that you like that we haven't mentioned yet?
So we did mention it before, but I had to put the intern on it because it was, you know, a number that I couldn't find. And granted, you were getting very different numbers on which book you find it on. But Kyle Daukaus by submission, you can find it as high as like plus 300 and as low as like plus 150. So look around in your books, because if it is closer to that higher number, Kyle Daukaus winning by submission seems like a pretty nice prop in there against Phil Hawes, because like I said, if he tires Phil Hawes out and is able to submit him, I think that that's probably one of the more likely possibilities in that fight. So yeah, I like that one if you can get it in the like plus 230 or up range. You know, I also think like I said before, Gregor Gillespie is going to win that fight. And I think there's probably a lot of fun props based on how you think that's going to go. But Gregor Gillespie by submission, here's a real D-gen play for you right here. So Gregor Gillespie's got quite a few submissions on his record, right?
Five.
So, like, he's not bad at submissions. He's got a good head and arm choke. He wears you out. He's got a good rear naked choke. It's betting off at plus 1,200.
Oh, my God.
So, like, again, We tell you don't go out there and bet those like absolutely ridiculous numbers. And here I am telling you, if you're a real degen, you're gonna throw a couple bucks on Gregor Gillespie at plus 1200 because that's a crazy number.
Plus, I like when you say things like that because then I can use that in the promotion for the podcast. So we'll say we have a plus 1200 dog for you here. Should be noted that CDF has never been submitted as a pro, and he is a jiu-jitsu champion.
Third-degree black belt, too.
Yes.
But mostly,
and very well coached. So
which is why the number is crazy like that. But yeah. What I will say is I think the value's there not because I think CDF is going to make a mistake against Gregor Gillespie, but I think Gillespie has a way of just sapping all of your energy, too.
Right.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he subbed him late in the third.
Right. Yeah. No. We're thinking the wrestling is going to overpower the jiu-jitsu and he's just going to wear him out or pound him out and then end up submitting him, that type of thing. You know, it's worth it for to splash a bit of money on plus 1200. You can't lose with that, right? Well, you could lose, but you're not going to because Dan said bet it. So there you go. All right. I think you have first pick this week for the locks. Where is our results? I'm 7-1, up 43%. Return on investment on my locks. Dan is scrapped back to 4-4. He's still down 18%. So you got first pick this week. Who is your lock pick?
I'm going to say I don't have very many lock picks this week. It's a really difficult card to find locks. But I'll go Gregor Gillespie. I just said I thought he was going to win and I like the prop, but if I'm going to take a straight up lock to -172, I think you said we were getting him at.
Yeah,
I'll take Gregor Gillespie at -172.
All right. I'll take Marina Rodriguez -200. Not a huge number, but that's fine. I'm up money and I want to get up a little bit more. So, I think that's one of the most sure things.
That was my second pick.
I don't see any picks.
1A and 1B right there.
Do you see any – we didn't say that. Do you see any path to victory for Watterson here? Not that Watterson's a horrible fighter. She's a former champion, and she's a very good and scrappy fighter, but I see no path to victory here for her.
Not really because, like, so her sub game I wouldn't imagine is good enough to get her. She's not going to out-wrestle her regularly, I don't think. And like – you know, I guess you could say she could win a 5-round point fight. You know, like she could poke away on the outside and land kicks
possibly
and stuff like that. But like the problem with that is Rodriguez just gets in people's face, right? Like she's gritty and nasty, and she messes people up, and she's not afraid to get hit. And like I just don't see that going well for Watterson.
Yeah, no, it's very true. So all right, so there you go, folks. All 12 fights, and this for the first time ever, we are agreeing on every fight, so that's another thing that I can hype up in our promo of this podcast. Not that you need any more enticement to listen, but in case some of you casuals out there do, first time that's ever happened, which means we must be 100% correct, or like there's no way we both could be wrong on 12 fights. So we're gonna get 12-0 this week, which will also be a first. Dan was very close last week. We went 9-1 last week, so he's been very close. But this is the week. So, I think that is enough. It's getting late here, and I have to wake up in the middle of the night to snatch up all the good baseball starting pitchers for our fantasy league before Dan wakes up and gets them. I woke up at 3 a.m. last night, and then I grabbed my phone. I'm like, oh, I can pick players. So that's a gem move right there. Instead of going back to sleep, I'm like, oh, I better see if I can grab some starting pitchers for our very competitive fantasy league. So I grabbed some starters before Dan was out of bed. So we'll see if that happens tonight or not.
Best of luck to you in trying to outwake the guy with a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old.
That is true. Very, very good point. All right. In the meantime, your assignment, boys and girls, hopefully there's some girls listening to this other than relatives of ours. Watch the fights, obviously. Read all the stuff on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'll have my write-up of the event, my preview of the event, and all the picks and stuff will be going up Thursday. Read all our stuff on MMA-manifesto.com. Enter a pick'em contest, and you can read Dan's stuff on Ludovic Klein. He's got a Friday, I usually post his underdog pick of the week. So make sure you read all our stuff over there and follow us on Twitter. We won't be bad-mouthing each other for a change, but maybe we'll be congratulating and high-fiving each other on Twitter during the fights. But it would be Gumby Vreeland. That would be Jeff Fox Ryder. I think we can put this one to bed. Anything else? Any last words, Mr. Vreeland?
No, I'm going to give you the sign-off this week.
I don't really have anything to say this week. Let me think. I am Jeff Sox, and that is Gumby Vreeland. And thank you for letting us into your ear holes, and we'll see you on – when do we record? Sunday night. We'll see you Sunday night / Monday morning. Bye-bye. Love you all.